Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? Let out a big, deep breath and be thankful that the Redskins won that nail-biter of a game against the San Francisco 49ers. I am JP Finley. As always, I'm joined by my man, Rich Tandler. Tandler, say what's up.
What's up?
Dude, what was your reaction when Aldrick Robinson caught that bomb to make it a very, very tight game?
You know, that was concerning, but when they got a first, after that Garcon catch was called on review and they were in Redskins territory at the 41, simple completion away from pretty easy. Gould had nailed one from, what, over 50 before?
Yeah.
So pretty easy field goal range for Robbie Gould. That was when I was like,
it looked like, oh my gosh, is this thing going to happen? We also have the number one local celebrity in town, Mitch Tischler, is with us.
What up?
A lot of other local celebrities out of town.
All right, we got a lot to get to. We got our game balls, our goats. We got to settle up on over-unders. We got to thank folks for – we got a ton of reviews. We need a ton more, but we got a lot, and we appreciate it. All right, it's awesome. Whew, where do we start? This thing, 17-0, looked like the Skins were running away with it.
Yeah, and you know, then I think the offense kind of hit the skids a little bit, but then – you know, they put in rookie quarterback C.J. Beathard, grandson of Bobby. I guess we'll get that out of the way.
All right. That
whose name is up here somewhere.
We are no longer discussing that because whenever there's something like that, like remember how Nico Marley was Bob Marley's grandson and that's all anybody
talked
about?
Well, he's not – I know, but he's not on this team that we cover.
We've now mentioned it and we move on.
Right. I was going to say.
We mentioned it back in Mobile, Alabama 4 months ago, eight months ago or whatever, okay, when we were at the Senior Bowl and we were over it then. And we were over him a little bit too.
But he came in, got the ball on his own 25 with like a minute 51 left in the first half. And the defense just kind of went, relaxed a little bit, played a little prevent, and all of a sudden.
I mean, he gave them some energy, too.
Yes, DJ Swearingen. Yeah, right. Before that, he had.
Yeah, just put it on.
Picked up.
The kid played way better. Hoyer was awful.
Hoyer was awful. Terrible.
Well, imagine Kyle changing quarterbacks.
Yeah.
What kind of good would that have done about 5 years ago?
Huh.
Oh, Mitch. We did have Kyle Shanahan here on the sideline. I tweeted out, and people retweeted it a bunch. Seemed fitting for the Redskins to win this thing on Kirk Cousins running read option with Kyle Shanahan on the sideline.
Yes, that's true. And Cousins in the interview room did, you know, kind of give Kyle credit for teaching him that play and saying, hey, it's something that you should hold on to.
I will say Kyle didn't spend a lot of time hobnobbing with the Redskins pregame or postgame. Talked a little bit with Gruden on the field pregame. Afterwards, handshake at midfield, and he bolted to the locker room. Didn't stop and talk to anybody. So a little surprising. I mean, you know, these guys, he was in the building for 4 years or so, however long it was. He knows a bunch of guys that are still here, including Kirk and company, and didn't spend any time talking to didn't spend any time kind of talking to any of the Skins.
I mean, that's a third straight brutal loss for that dude, and he's now 0-6. He might just want to get the hell off the field.
Fifth straight by 2 points or
right. No, well, I mean, their last
3 points or less.
Well, back-to-back OTs, and then tonight right. today, you know, was almost right there.
I mean, a tough loss is a tough loss, but how many times we talk about these guys being, it's a workplace game, and you know, then afterwards they're all friendly and whatnot. So
right.
for Kyle to take it personally is
plenty of players did that. Plenty of players still exchange jerseys and do what they do.
Pierre stayed on the field for, and he was probably the last player left on the field going off. So I mean, a lot of guys did that. Kyle, I guess, must have just been a little salty.
Speaking of Pierre, so everybody, I think, overtly or overly, I don't know, one of those two words, was killing Swearinger for the personal foul at the end of the first half, which was a dumb penalty and he shouldn't have done it. But he's also defending his rookie teammate who got laid out.
Yeah.
Pierre standing there celebrating over him.
Taunting, I think that could have drawn a taunting call.
How Pierre didn't get a penalty, right.
Yes.
But then I think, you know, everything works out for a reason when Pierre gets that offensive pass interference call
yes.
late in the game to take them out of field goal range. I mean, that seemed like a bit of karma, man.
It was deja vu London.
It was.
I mean, different situation, right. but.
The deja vu for me, whenever I see something like that, I think to Michael Westbrook in the helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate take your team out of field goal range.
Yes.
Before we go to Kirk, or before we go to game balls, rather, let's talk about Kirk's day. 25 of 37 for 330, so he clearly went over. Was sacked just once, had two touchdowns, and the pick. The pick was a terrible throw. He was not hitting deep balls today. I counted at one point he sailed two to Ryan Grant early, then the bad miss to Jordan Reed, followed up by the bad miss to Vernon Davis.
He tried to throw the previous one away, but Jimmy Ward could only trap it. Instead of pick it.
Right. And the bad miss to Terrell Pryor right down here in the corner of the end zone on the pump and go.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrell was wide open, and he was a little frustrated in the corner after that ball sailed out of bounds. But
and that was a great play call there, too.
It was a great play call. You know what? I liked it. I thought Gruden called a great game today.
I remember when people were worried if he could do it. Jay Gruden could call plays, guys. He's good.
Yeah.
And he's been able to manage the game. Otherwise, there haven't been the bad timeouts and terrible challenges and whatnot. All right. In general, there hasn't been too much of the outside shenanigans that everyone was worried about.
All right. Let's get to game balls and goats. Tandler, you want to start? We'll go round robin. We'll go. All right. So everybody knows we haven't set the scene yet. We are sitting down on the field behind the Redskins bench under this weird awning next to a bunch of electrical equipment. So if you hear any explosions or anything, it's probably Mitch messing with the wrong thing. So we'll go Tandler, Mitch, me. No doubles. Tandler, you start.
Chris Thompson, who they're apparently not supposed to use very much, but he had 20 touches, 16 carries for 33 yards. He was running, seemed to be much.
Damn, I didn't realize he had 16 carries.
Yeah, he was running much better early than he was late. Late, I think they caught on to him and started to close down on him.
I mean, he made his damage in
but
the past.
Four receptions, 105 yards.
And a lot of those runs were between the tackles. They didn't take him outside a whole lot in those pitch plays, which is where he's been most successful. I mean, they treated him like a true number one back today.
Yeah. And just handed him off. So Chris Thompson.
All right, you're up.
Mitch, I'll give it to Trent Williams for gutting it out and being out there. And, you know, an 80% Trent Williams is better than 90% of other tackles in the NFL. So for him getting out there and fighting through whatever pain he was dealing with in that knee, that was pretty impressive.
Can I – so Mitch tried to do this a couple weeks ago, giving a game ball to the whole offensive line. I agree with you on Trent. That was a gutty performance. He's hurting. I want to give one to the secondary. And I know they had the blow-up play with
Aldrick.
I didn't
think we allowed Mitch to give it to a group.
All right. Well, if I have to pick one guy
– you crushed me for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did. All right. If I have to pick one guy – but here's the problem. Is I want to give it to Breland, but he got hurt. And then Dunbar kind of took over covering Pierre. So I want to give it to the guys that covered Pierre because they did a good job.
That you can do.
So I'm giving a game ball to both Breland and Dunbar. I think they both played well. At the end of this podcast, we have an awesome one-on-one interview with Dunbar. So listen to that. He's funny as hell.
We're gonna need a ruling.
I just made the rule. Both of them get a game ball because of injury. There's the caveat. I think they both played well. You hold Pierre to under 60. I mean, really, there wasn't much of a pass game. Aldrick caught the one big ball, and that was when Fabian Moreau came in. It looked like there was some clear confusion between him and Monte. I mean,
almost a fatal amount of confusion.
Right. But in the end, I think those two guys played well. Tandler, you're up.
Oh, we're still going game balls?
Yeah. If you got another one, you don't have to.
Yeah, let's go. We should probably move on to goats because –
Well, if you got one, if you got somebody that deserves it, okay.
I don't.
Mitch is asking for the mic.
I just got a quick one. I give one to Josh Norman. Didn't play, was literally a coach on the sideline. Every time we came over,
Taylor, I wish you guys could see Taylor's
eyes. I am sighing and rolling my eyes.
He was in the young DB's faces every time they came off the field.
Okay, that's not a game ball.
Taylor, the good news is Mitch is overruled here. That's great that Josh was so helpful on the sideline. He's not getting a game ball.
You must
give out,
play.
Give out some more tandem game balls.
You're the one that's giving them out to dudes that didn't play.
Yeah, he made a difference.
I think we're good on game balls. You know, this game started like we were going to be giving out 10 or 15 of them like we did after the Raiders game.
Right.
But the way it ended, there was some ugly time in between. I'm starting on goats because I decided. Samaje Perine, 9 rushes for 23 yards, 2.6 a carry. There were multiple times it seemed like he was leaving yards on the field. And I think they should have gone to Mac, given Mac a few more carries. I think this team needs Rob Kelly. He's a better option than Perine is. Although Perine did have the one nice catch. I want to say that. Taylor?
Let's see. There really weren't.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know how many goat balls there are to give out there.
There's one obvious one. And you're both missing it, so I'll go back to back.
Oh.
Dustin Hopkins. Cannot miss that extra point. Cannot miss that extra point to give your team a 10-point lead and really put the game away. Hop made a good kick earlier, but you got to make that kick, man.
Okay. I'll go with that.
The folks in the desert didn't hate that one.
Well, if you're a good Redskins Talk listener, your boy right here told you to take the points. I thought the final was going to be like – I gave Ben Standing a ride of the game, and I told him in the car, I think it's going to be like 33-24, which is where it was tracking there for a minute. And Taylor, is a win a win?
Yeah, it is. I think they all agree they could – Jay Gruden said, I think we've turned a corner. Okay. I think we've turned a corner. When I'm not really happy, not ecstatic was his word, is maybe I would have been after a win. He said there were a lot of things that need to be worked on out of this game.
But it might not be the worst thing to squeak out a win here heading into Philly next week, you know?
Totally agree. I think had this been a 17-0 and they cruised to 35-17 win, and all week everybody else in town is telling them how great they are all week, it kind of changes the tone going to that Eagles game. Whereas still, after this win, everybody's talking about how good Philly is. They just throttled the Panthers. This is you get the win. You're 3-2. You're headed north.
They didn't throttle the Panthers, by the way. They beat them.
I didn't watch it. It was a game 5.
No doubt. They won by 5 points.
So basically what I was going to say is everything JP just said. So we'll move on.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, time to review the over-unders. No, can you give me the Kevin Garnett, what he yelled?
Anything is possible!
Anything is possible! Nobody thought the kid could win this week. Nobody thought. Taylor was counting his Starbucks money already.
Yeah.
Would that have been win 5 for him?
Well, win three to win a Starbucks. Instead, your boy's getting another cheer wine this week. I can't wait for it.
Taylor was just tasting that pumpkin spice latte on his lips.
All right. Yep.
So let's start with Kirk. We both agreed. We set the number at 287, I believe. Does that sound right? Set the number for Kirk at 287 passing yards. Kirk finished the game with what, Taylor?
330.
So clearly over. You and I both picked over. All right. Before we get down to the good stuff, we'll talk about
sacks.
So we set sacks at 3.5, correct?
And went over.
And we both went over.
It was 3.
Skins only finished with 3. Matt Ioannidis is a beast, dude. He got credited with a sack and a half. Kerrigan got credited with a sack that he had clearly. And Preston got a half sack.
Ioannidis, just like we all thought he would be all offseason, we're going that. Matt Ioannidis is going to be making key sacks in October to help win games. He had probably one of the biggest plays of the game. When
that
he
third
sacked,
down.
Yeah,
third
down, yeah, third down and Gould ended up missing the field goal.
Well, that half sack that Ioannidis and Preston split could have gone 4 ways. It could have been quarter sack, but Preston definitely was the first one there, and that was a pretty big play too.
Well, and let's give all three of us credit because we all noticed it, but everybody noticed it. You did see that Matt was a different dude this training camp. I mean, he lost weight, gained strength, looked like a different player. I think playing next to Jonathan Allen helps. Jonathan Allen leaving this game in a walking boot is something to monitor, folks. That kid has made a monstrous impact. Mitch, you're our interior line expert, man. John Allen, serious.
I mean, what more could you want from him? You've heard analysts across the country say that they're watching him play out here. They're shocked that he dropped to 17 with the Skins, and the shoulders haven't been a problem at all. You haven't heard one peep of any of it, and he has been a force on the inside. And I, like you said, teaming up with Ioannidis, the two of them are out here early on the field pregame, going through their motions and warm-ups and stuff. I mean, those two are thick as thieves, and they're turning into a pretty good interior line.
Got to credit Jim Tomsula a little bit with that, and you'll hear it later. Quentin Dunbar, all those DBs love Torian Gray. The Skins upgraded their coaching staff this offseason. All right, the final one, and this is where anything is possible. Everybody thought I was a total idiot for my bet with B-Mitch on Redskins 100, where I said the Skins would hold Pierre.
Including yourself.
Right, I thought I was an idiot too. But that the Skins would hold Pierre under 60 yards, which was it was hairy. It got very, very close. But Pierre was held to 5 catches for 55 yards, which is a total typical Pierre Garçon stat line where his average – YPC is about between 11 and 12. But Tandler and I set the over-under at 80. I went under. Tandler, you went?
Over.
Mitch, what do we say to when you're wrong?
Yeah, I thought there would be, and it looked like, but then we discussed it looked like there would be garbage time.
It was trending well
for
you.
Twice it looked like there would be garbage time.
Yeah, well, and Brian Hoyer was so bad early that hurt Pierre's chances.
Yes.
But it was a good win for me. Cheerwan coming my way.
It was kind of funny, Pierre, talking about being frustrated, being the intermittent possession receiver here in D.C., so he goes out to San Fran where he hopes to get a couple more deep balls.
And
his chance coming back to D.C., and he's got revenge on his mind and all that, and he shows up a 5 for 55, which is pretty much exactly what he did every single game last year.
A long of 22.
Yeah, I mean
– No touchdowns. He doesn't have a touchdown pass yet this year.
It is who he is. All right.
They are who we thought they were.
Exactly. So some fun news. We're going to have a special guest help us pick or help us set next week over-unders. Look for that Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. You guys are going to enjoy that one. All right. I said we would do this. Taylor's rolling his eyes at me again. Why is Taylor
I don't know who's special. I just
– Well, it's a surprise for you,
surprise
too.
Surprise guest. Yeah.
Hence, surprise.
Sounds like fun.
All right. We got some great reviews. Guys, the goal is still 50 reviews by Halloween. We're getting close. You guys kicked butt this week. We're at 37 now, so make it happen. I'm going to read a few of these. KOD3 Monkey says, the best Redskins podcast. I look forward to every episode and I'm never let down. JP owes me 114 beers at this point. KOD, I hope to pay you back someday. I truly mean that. This one's funny. This is from Ed. He says, very gritty podcast. A prepubescent and Santa Claus's second cousin provide excellent Redskins takes. Strongly recommend. Taylor, I think they – I'm not sure who they're talking to there.
JP, you are prepubescent.
I'm 36 years old.
I'm just saying your high voice belies
high voice, dude.
And Taylor is definitely the Santa Claus.
Taylor is definitely Santa Claus's second cousin.
Although he's rocking a nice little haircut today, so – I don't know if
have you ever grown a beard and gone full Santa Claus?
When was the last time you grew out
a
beard? When was the last time you grew out a beard past a couple days?
Never.
Even in your hippie days?
I never had hippie days.
So the 60s.
I was 15 when the 60s ended, okay?
And you couldn't grow facial hair?
Yeah, no.
Mitch has just completely taken Tandler's mic, yet is asking him all these questions while Tandler doesn't have a mic.
Yeah, no.
To be fair, the listeners are probably happier that they can't hear Tandler.
That's not the case. All right, we're gonna read a bunch more of these as the weeks go on. So
we'll
keep
see
hitting
how
us.
How many reviews say, "Oh, I love Mitch"? Don't ever.
One of them did say, "I love the local celebrity." I don't have time to get to it right now.
Good.
Hey, I have a loyal following in town, and if you would like me to round up my people and get them commenting here, there's gonna be a lot of love for the local celebrity.
Let's do it.
I mean, you're supposed to be doing that anyway. Clown, but I'm gonna say this. So Captain Beastie says, JP Rich, local celebrity, I love and look forward to this programming daily. The podcast is funny, informative, and the best way to keep up with my Skins. And he says Mitch owes him a beer. How about this, folks? Start saying Mitch owes you a beer.
In 100% in.
All right, last one. everybody should follow at Ivan the Great _ on Twitter. He says, in-depth info, great predictions, plus Chandler's like the grandpa I never had. Bang!
Thanks, I guess.
All right, folks, this has been a lot of fun. After a win, it's a lot easier to do these.
Yes.
Chandler, we always do the smile meter after wins. Redskins fans should smile this week because?
Well, I'd say a meter. A meter would be like 7.
Well, like how big of a smile?
Because they're 3-2, and they have a chance going into Philly next week to – I don't think they can – they can't take over first place in the division, but they can get themselves pretty well set up for a playoff run.
Here's what I'm going to say, and we're going to talk about this a lot later in the week. I think the Skins are going to win in Philly.
Okay. That's
– oh, Mitch is grabbing the mic.
I agree. I think the Skins are going to win.
All right, guys. Stay tuned. Right now we're going to DJ Swearinger's interview and then Quentin Dunbar's interview. You guys are going to enjoy these big time. I had a lot of fun talking to those guys. As always, keep on listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I just, you know, had to stand up for my guy. You know, one of my guys went down and Pierre was celebrating. You know, when the guy's hurt, you know, you shouldn't celebrate. And I was standing up for my guy. He sort of head-butted me a little bit, but I got to keep my cool in that situation to be a better captain and force them to kick that three right there.
Well, and what I'm going to say in your defense is that I just saw you have a conversation with Doug Williams where he said he understood why you jumped in there.
Yes.
And that you still have the full support of the team. How much does that mean to you?
It means a lot. Anytime, you know, a guy like that, you know, Doug Williams, you know, it gives me that confidence that, you know, we still riding. I love it. I mean, I love this staff. I love this organization, and we got to keep going and get the win next week.
All right, beyond the flag at the end of the first half, sigh of relief for you at the end of that game?
Most definitely, man. We made it harder than we had to, but at the end of the day, we got to win. Some young guys stepped up for us at the end due to injuries, man, and I want to tip my hat to those guys. They grew up today.
The amount of injuries, though, is staggering. At the end of that game, you were out there with Dunbar, Moreau. What's it like having to juggle so many different pieces in game?
It's tough, but something I've been preaching all week, we're good as our weakest link. And I thank the guys, you know, they took heed to that. And we even had Hosley come step in at the end when Fabian went out. So I think the guys really took that to heart, and we did that tonight.
When Kendall got that ball at the end, how fired up were you? What'd you tell him?
That's a great play, man. Great players make big plays in big situations. He's been playing great all year. That was a great play, and he got to keep that ball forever right there.
Because he didn't keep the last one, did
he? Nah, he didn't. I told him, I'm like, why, how you not keep your first interception? But I think this was a bigger one to end the game, and tip my hats to him, man. He grew up even bigger today.
Well, I saw him when he left the field. He had the ball in his hand, so he kept it this time.
Yes.
Think about this one real quick. Your defense, you're the captain of this defense, has now had game-clinching interceptions in two of your three wins.
Yes, and that's something I try to preach in practice. Anytime we go in 2-minute with the offense, anytime we third down situations, end of the game situations, I try to tell guys if we're going to be a championship defense, we have to win these situations. Kansas City, we fail. And I told the guys we can't fail again this year because we do it every day in practice. So I think we did a great job at winning tonight, and we got to keep getting better.
Thanks, Chick. I don't know if you can hear those guys, but they're complimenting your play today. You were everywhere on that field, especially late when the Redskins had to get a stop. You were breaking up passes. How much does it mean to you to give that sort of effort when you're called upon with Josh out?
It means more to me, to this team, and I feel like I owe it to this team. I watch them get better each and every practice and gel together as a family, so I just don't want no drop out while Josh is out. That's all.
And well, how would you say you played today? Because we're all saying you played very well.
I feel like I did a decent job. I mean, some things I got to correct, but overall I feel like I played a pretty good game.
The last drive, when you tipped that ball up and then somehow Pierre caught it on the sideline, was that a catch?
Honestly, I don't know. So, I mean, I just next play mentality and come back and make the play the next play. I mean, playing against Pierre, this guy's amazing talent. I mean, for 3 years when he was here, I always admired his game, his work ethic. With the things he done did in the past and the money he done made, you would think he never made anything. The way he practiced, the way he get better each and every practice and stay out the practice and catch balls. So I really commend him.
And what was it like going up against him? He's known to talk a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, everybody on this team know, man.
You talk a lot too.
Yeah, and I respect everybody, but I fear none. So I was up to the challenge. So I was ready to go out there and jaw off and play with him just like how he liked to play. So.
Well, and earlier this week, Jay Gruden joked, "We need a lot out of Dunbar, and the best part is he doesn't think twice about it." The heightened expectations for you, you just go out and play football.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Like I tell all these guys, man, this is pleasure for me. This is fun for me, man. Growing up what I grew up in and seeing things I done seen growing up, this is my sanctuary. So when I come out here, I enjoy these days, man, honestly. So I just come out here and play the game, man, and deal with the result, man. I know how hard I work, man. Sometimes it falls in your favor, sometimes it don't. So